the good liars.
The good liars?
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, God. Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the good liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. All right, welcome to The Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeBram Stiefler, and we are The Good Liars.
And we may be The Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell the truth. And today, we're going to be talking about a group of people that we know very well from our travels, Trump supporters.
You're talking about our sources.
Our sources, the sources that we have from all of our travels. And really, we get information that the media is not reporting on from these sources a lot of times.
Correct.
But for a good reason. Yeah. We're going to ask this question. What will it take for Trump supporters to give up on Donald Trump? It hasn't happened yet. A lot of stuff has happened, and they still support him.
I think the answer is going to be, and we'll go through the process, we'll find out. I think the answer is going to be that it might be tough for them to give him up, right?
Oh, you think so?
Difficult.
You think so? Okay. Well, yeah, I'm not in the business of giving spoilers, especially if people just started this. They're like, well, what's going to happen? They have a solution. Right. We're going to tell you the truth, though. If that's the truth, then we're going to give it to you straight. We're not going to BS you here on The Good Liars Tell the Truth. But before we get into it, DeBram, I want to talk to you about a story that came out this week that is related to what we're talking about today with Donald Trump.
Okay.
And that is a story. Now, this is according to NBC News. A group of House Republicans has introduced legislation to rename Washington Dulles International Airport in Virginia after former President Donald Trump.
Whoa, what an honor.
What are your thoughts on that?
I'm trying to think what I know about the airport, what I know about that airport. Does it fit the Donald Trump feel?
I don't know.
Does it capture him? We've been there, right?
I don't know that we have, actually. I don't think we have been. I've been there once when I went to an audition for Syracuse University, which is where I attended my college years.
Shout
Syracuse
out.
University. It was the first time I ever went to D.C. I flew into Dulles. But my only thing that I think about with Dulles is Die Hard 2, because it was Dulles Airport, I'm pretty sure. And I kept thinking it was Dallas when I was a kid. And I was like, why is there so much snow on the ground in Dallas, Texas? It didn't make any sense.
This is a lie. This is a big lie.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think Donald Trump should he get a airport named after him? I mean, we've got Kennedy Airport here in New York. We've got LaGuardia after the mayor of New York. So what do you think?
If I get a vote, I vote that we do not name the airport after Donald Trump. There are other Trump things, right?
Yeah. Steaks, Bibles. Now there's Bibles.
Right.
Of course.
Those things he's taken the liberty of naming after himself because he paid for them, or more likely borrowed money to pay for them as we're learning more and more. No, I'd rather not have to say Trump's name more than I already am forced to. So no, an airport named after Trump would not appeal to me. Why? Would it appeal to you? Would you just love that?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what's the worst airport, I don't know, that he could be named after. But I wouldn't want his name associated with an airport. My fear is that because I have family, I grew up in West Palm Beach, Florida. That area, not in West Palm Beach proper, but he is down there all the time. I would see Air Force One when I visit my family, and then now I'll see like Trump Force One, as he calls it. I'm nervous that they're going to name the Palm Beach International Donald Trump after Donald Trump.
See, that would make more sense, right?
But it would be bad for me personally. Yes, I never go to Dulles. I'll drive or take a train down there from New York, I don't know.
What would a redesign look like of the airport? You can't just change the name. Do you think they'd put it in like
all gold
Trump Tower
or
style,
something like
fake gold shit? Broken down old Starbucks or whatever they've done in Trump Tower.
It's all of his products are sold there. You can get Trump steaks. You can take a class at Trump University. Everything is goes bankrupt.
You can get a $40 MAGA hat that was made in China there, all the stuff.
But some airports do sell like the MAGA hats and stuff. Like you'll see that in like the America exclamation point stores and stuff. So I don't know. I am not in favor of it. But if there's a really bad airport, if somebody wants to say like the worst airport, Miami International Airport is pretty terrible. We've flown in there a couple times.
Yeah.
Maybe Miami.
I see. I love my childhood airport. You brought up yours. I had Walker Field in Grand Junction, Colorado. It is cool. Tiny little airport. The airport bar faces the mountains. It's really, really cool. So don't come near my airport.
So let's talk about this. The Trump supporters that we've run into time after time. You know, DeVron, we've been going to these rallies for a long time, which says a lot about us.
Mm-hmm.
We've run into these Trump supporters no matter what happens, no matter what indictment, no matter what audio tape comes out, they still support Donald Trump no matter what. And let's dive into this as we go into the 2024 election. What is it going to take for these Trump supporters to give up on Donald Trump?
They love him so much. It's like when you were younger, did you have like a poster of like a hot girl on your wall at any point? Was there anyone that just everyone thought was the best thing in the world?
Oh, like a Kathy Ireland or Cindy
Crawford or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like what this is to them, I feel like. It's a whole movement that has decided that this is like a hero and they idolize this almost to the point of not seeing him as like an actual person, but just as a symbol of something, as a symbol that says more about themselves.
It's like, it's almost like Michael Jordan. I would say Michael Jordan, like the Bulls in the 90s. Like everybody's got a Chicago Bull. It doesn't matter where you are in the country. You could buy a Chicago Bulls shirt or a Jordan shirt.
And it would say, I'm cool. I get it. Michael Jordan's the GOAT. We can talk basketball.
This one, now it's like you buy a shirt that's like, vote no for Joe and the Ho or some terrible thing that they're
like, see, we get each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been to a lot of Trump rallies over the last few years. And I would say the level of devotion for the man has not gone down. But in 2021, after January 6th, we started going to these rallies. A lot of the people that we talked to thought it was time for Republicans to move on. Now, obviously, that's not the case. Have there been any interactions? We're going to talk about some of these videos in a second. Recently, but over the last couple years, like in 2021, 2022, were there any interactions you had with anybody or I had with anybody that sticks out in your mind? Like, wow, this is different. This is like a different type of deal than just like a normal.
Are there any interactions that stand out that Trump was different?
Is every interaction? Yeah, maybe that's a better question. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We had this thing that we would ask people for a little while, and I recently asked someone again, just I don't know, popped back into my head because Putin was in the news. Would you vote for Joe Biden or Vladimir Putin if they were running for president of the United States? Pretty dumb question, but just whatever. Your response says a little bit about you. Everyone would just say that, you know, Putin was better than Biden and it's all about Trump. And then they would say nice things about Putin and then say Trump is like that. So
do you think that's like a level of devotion for Donald Trump? Or do you think that's like my friend Jamie Weinstein, who I went to high school with, who is like prominent, or I guess was a figure on the right, who was like a talking head, and he always said that in interviews, if you ask people in surveys, if you attributed something to like Obama and you were talking to a Republican, they would immediately say they don't like it, even if it was something they liked. So do you think that really shows that they love Trump or that they just don't like Biden and it's like a partisan thing?
It could be. I mean, it probably that's a big part of it, but
how would you answer that?
I said that they then go on to list positive things about Putin those similarities with Trump was kind of why I was saying there. It seems like there's more to it than that. There's almost like a thirst for a dictator. And then they'll list like these ways in which Putin is actually like positively, you know, affecting his population by, I don't know, whatever, morality, having a strong sense of morality or a strong sense of nationality, all the like vague things that really seem to be hatred, but are wrapped up in somehow pride, America.
Right. Oh, this is, you said dictator, and we actually have a video for this. I was going to play it later, but let's talk about it now. I talked to a guy in New Hampshire earlier this year about when Trump said he would be a dictator on day one. He was like, I'd just be a dictator for a day on day one. That's it.
What an answer.
I know, it's like, the easy answer is, no, I will not be a dictator any day. Yeah, because this is the United States of America.
How would you feel about him being a dictator?
I probably wouldn't be pissed about that at all.
You'd be okay with Trump being a dictator?
I'd be okay with it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There's plenty of time for him to think about it, too. You know? maybe not. Yeah.
Well, so you mentioned this before. Like, there is a thing with the Republican Party now with people being drawn to these, like, strongman characters, these people who have, like, the authoritarian bent to them, like Putin. Do you think that is, like, it's something that keeps me up at night a little bit about this whole election? Trump was such a dysfunctional president, but now he feels like he's getting people around him who are going to, like, teach him how to just rule with an iron fist. Like, are you worried about that? Are you?
I am. People said that the, like, January 6th, people say things, smart people say things, and I think, oh, that might be an overreaction. And then they, like, come to pass. Like, oh, that's what you meant. So people have said that January 6th was, like, a dress rehearsal. Like, they didn't succeed, but the seeds have been planted. And now it's all about, you know, getting politicians elected who will endorse the big lie about the election, and getting judges installed who will also support that. So it's, like, very scary, because when you cross a threshold that we never thought would be crossed, or in my lifetime, I just didn't see that happening. Just wasn't on my bingo card. Then that happens, and then you realize, like, oh, if he got into power, like, what would there be to lose? And in the meantime, it's not like he's been surrounding himself with more and more reasonable people. The reasonable people left.
Reasonable people are like, Donald Trump did not win the election.
Right.
It's just a fact. But now prerequisite to work with him is to say that the election was stolen. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So they're gone. So now it's just people being like, yes, Donald, you won. And also your properties are worth so much and everything is so unfair.
I keep thinking that this election, you know, everybody knows it's so important, but just, like, what he's going to do when he takes over, and the fact that a lot of people want that, like, want there to be a strongman.
What do you think his day one dictator checklist would be?
Well, that's a great segue.
Love a good
great segue, Devram, to another video that I'm going to pull up, and I'm just pulling up my own videos now because I'm like, oh, this is what we were just talking about. I know you've got the other videos here too, but. I asked a guy in North Carolina just a couple weeks ago what he wanted Donald Trump to do on the first day in office. And it's all about the tax code. He thinks that it's too complicated and he wants it to be simplified. That's what this guy's going to talk about.
President, what would you like to see him do to Democrats?
Escort them to the gallows.
Really? You want him to kill his political opponents?
I didn't. You asked me what I wanted to see.
Right, but you want to see Trump kill his political?
I want to see justice done.
Okay. What would they be sent to the gallows for?
Treason.
That's always an easy one. It's always treason.
Treason.
Treason. That word used to not be thrown around. Arrested Development, I think, brought it back into the consciousness with a little light treason.
But that's authoritarianism. And, like, I don't know, like, as scary as things got and, like, are getting, like, I don't have that desire to just have, like, public hangings for people. And it's a little scary, I guess is the word I'll use. It's a little scary, just a little bit, that's the impulse.
Slightly on the same topic. And this is from a couple of years ago. We were doing a little Christmas bit, but it was a little bit similar in terms of the thirst for what these people what our sources would be calling justice.
You like, and you're Q drop in 2020, young man. I like to be free. I like to have our country back. I want to see some hangings. I want to see Gitmo reopen.
Holy fucking shit.
Warp speed is just the army positioning itself.
The children and Santa Claus, it's usually more about cookies and milk, but with Q, it's more about hangings and taking things back.
Live free or die.
My lap's getting a little warm, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? What'd you do there?
So he wanted public hangings too.
Yeah. He wanted Gitmo reopened.
Public executions. I don't know if he specified it.
So
if he
what is that?
Hangings.
You were asking me, what do you think it is? Why do people thirst for this? This is like such a base like human desire to like see their enemies killed that even if I like felt that somewhere, I would be like, I can't say that. That's crazy. That's like horrible.
Well, now I just had a thought. Now let's talk about corporate greed. Let's talk about people.
Okay, let's do it. Let's get into it.
No. Like, let's get into this because I want to talk about like the thirst for blood in society. I'm thinking about that. You don't ever have dark thoughts about the billionaires who are shutting down factories, putting people out of work, poisoning the water in foreign countries.
But I guess my thoughts
for their
are
own
like
wealth.
My thoughts are like, I sure hope there are people with morals in a position to like prosecute people for their crimes, get them to pay their taxes and stuff. I'm not like I'd like to be in the town square and watch someone be hanged.
Okay. What about the Sacklers? Like they went out, they profited, they made all this money. Thousands and thousands of people got addicted to heroin, basically, that was being given to them by their doctors and it was being pushed on them.
Are you asking
them?
Yourself this question? Because I assume you'll I feel like you
I'm
already have
you.
It figured out.
I'm asking you. Do you don't think that you don't think there should be like some punishment for them? You don't think they should be in prison?
Of course there should be punishment. I wouldn't mind if they were like investigated properly and locked up if they did the things that they're accused of doing. Like I guess I don't see why that's a controversial point of view. I do think it gets a little bit weird.
What if Trump said like, that? What if Trump was like, we're going to take him, we're going to invest it, we're going to throw him in jail. I don't care. What if he said that? Would you be like, oh, wait, there's maybe I...
He could. He could bring some more people into the fold if he started...
Yeah, going after like
an anti-billionaire.
Yeah. He's like, all of them are bad. They're terrible.
I'm
terrible.
The only good one.
I never said I was a billionaire. I never said I had money. What are you talking about?
Right.
Okay, so we're seeing this level of devotion from these people. That guy, the Q guy, he's obviously gone down a rabbit hole. And I guess the guy that I talked to, one of the public hangings, was a Q guy too. He was he was telling me about his QAnon beliefs.
Which is cool. He's a source.
He's a source
of information.
But you talked to some people in New Hampshire and in the last place we were in, Greensboro, about what it would take to not support Donald Trump.
And as soon as he gets in, he's going to send them all back to illegals. We can't go shoplifting. Why should they come across the border? Which is more serious? I believe in the law.
So you're a law and order guy?
Well, I mean, yeah. If we don't have rules, what you got? Chaos.
I have to ask, Donald Trump was just found guilty of fraud, $385 million.
So?
Law and order.
I'm not electing a priest.
I know, but does that bother you that he was found guilty of that, being a law and order person?
Well, compared to what?
I'm saying he did a thing that was very illegal. He owes hundreds of millions of dollars. You're a law and order guy. Does that bother you?
Well, is he the only one that's ever did that?
I didn't say he's the only one who ever did that.
Okay, I know that. That's a loaded question.
Well, it seems A to B. If you really value law and order, but Trump is guilty of crimes, does it bother you that Trump, your guy, did a fraud that is costing him nearly $400 million?
Well, it bothers me, but it ain't going to deter my vote, sir. I still vote for him. If he had 21 million felonies, I'm voting for him.
So, law and order.
Yeah.
Very, very important. But 21 million felonies, which that's a lot. That's a lot of felonies.
It's almost like he's like, I know what you're asking me, and I'm going to go way over the top.
You thought
I'd be mad if he did one illegal thing? What's the biggest number I can imagine? 21 million. That's the number I'll say. He could do. Wasn't that wasn't a number that was brought up earlier or anything. That's just the number for him. Big number.
So I guess if we're looking at what would it take for them to give up on Donald Trump, 91 million felonies is not enough. 92? I don't know.
21 million is not enough.
Oh, 21. I'm sorry. 21. I got
to
get my
numbers straight. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to figure out where he came up with that number. It's a big number. It's true.
It's a big
number. Wasn't like a number that was mentioned. But maybe 22 million felonies would be enough. He may have committed that many, if we're being honest.
I'm going to say something, DeVram. I think that when we're talking about what it takes for Trump supporters to give up on Donald Trump, I don't think that these crimes, even if he committed them, I don't think that they're looked at as a bad thing for these guys. I think that a lot of the supporters look at that and they're like, even if he did all this stuff,
he's very smart.
He's a mob boss. He's like a son of a bitch. He's an asshole, but he's our son of a bitch. He's our asshole.
There's definitely the he's our son of a bitch thing, but also I think a lot of them say like, well, it's corruption. He probably didn't even do it, or if he did, it wasn't illegal, or if he did, you know, avoid paying taxes and there's a loophole, good for him. In these people's minds, the deck is stacked completely in his favor, and there's just no way, it seems like, to kind of pull these people away, almost no matter what.
Okay, but we're going to get to the truth of this, though, because I know that we actually have some thoughts on this, on how they could get away from him. But talking about the crimes and all that stuff, I know a lot of Democrats are thinking that once these indictments came out, it was like, we got him. This is it. We got him. And I know when that happened, the first one, and we went down to the courthouse here in New York, and you were down there and you said, I don't think this is a good thing. I think this is going to be, it's going to look like, it's going to, no matter what the facts are, it's going to look like a political prosecution, which is the word that Donald Trump keeps throwing around here. Have you changed your mind on that? Or do you still feel like it's not a good thing for Democrats for the election 2024?
I guess I don't see how he's off the ballot and not a hero in the way that things are going. I know I have not changed my outlook on it. I mean, as these things come out, his poll numbers get higher and higher, and that's well documented at this point. And if there are these kinds of crimes, like, I think they're used to writing that off as like, politically motivated, this or that. Like, no, it's just more fodder. I also think like it is a little politically motivated, right? Like, it's a strange thing to deny that the timing of these is related to possibly an election. It is, right?
I don't know. I think you could say it's the problem with the Justice Department waiting so long to try and do everything right that they wanted to make sure. And this is not talking about the New York case, but I think the crimes that he has been accused of, especially with January 6th and leading up to January 6th after the 2020 election, I think it made sense that you'd want to get it absolutely right before you come out with anything.
It did, but it also made sense that you wouldn't wait so long as to have another election pass. Like, both of those things for probably weighing into the decision-making that was happening. I don't know that they're supposed to be. I'm not trying to have a wild opinion here that some of these are political prosecutions, but the timing of this is such that I think people are saying these are such serious things that they should affect whether or not a person is a candidate for president. And then people are understandably saying, well, that seems motivated by the election. Well, it is to some degree, probably, but also we didn't know, the country didn't know, the founding fathers, who were apparently so wise, didn't think that a person would come along and do the types of things that he has done. And I think prosecutors have the responsibility to try and find the facts before this election, and we'll see if he's in court for these crimes, like, before the election, if the trials start, which I think is still in doubt. It's so dramatic.
Whenever we start talking about this, DeVron, this is what I was worried about with this topic. I go down a hole. I just can't fathom that we are in this position where so many people are like, this is the guy. This is the guy. He's so good. He's so smart. You can tell he's smart because he says he's smart. You can tell he's rich because of the gold. He's got gold all over his building. Right. Would a poor
and
person
you can
have
tell he
gold?
Cares because he says that he does.
Yes.
Like
yes.
What everything about his life shows that he's like he's, wants to live
he
a
said
certain lifestyle.
Nobody
not
cares about people more than Donald Trump. More so than Donald Trump. He cares the most. Yeah.
I love this country. Watch me hug this flag here. It's bizarre.
There's one other video that we have from New Hampshire where you talk to a guy about Donald Trump and some of the things going on with him.
Doesn't matter what he does. I'm going to vote for him.
It really doesn't matter what he does.
Doesn't matter what he does. And I assume a lot of this crowd can agree with me.
Yeah. Well, what if he had a political opponent killed, like his lawyer said, that he would be immune from?
Vote for Trump.
Still voting for Trump, even if he had a political opponent killed?
I'll make it clear for you. I don't care what he does. I'm voting for Trump. And I think majority of this line is too.
Even if he had a political opponent killed?
Absolutely. Doesn't matter. I'm voting for Trump.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it. Now, the one thing that I noticed there, DeVron, was there's like a recorder in the background.
I know it
there.
Comes in just at the right time to give a little patriotism. A piccolo or flute or something. Yeah.
And this is America. Here we go. Yeah. I can't wait for our January 6th reenactors like to be a thing. That's going to be a thing after Trump's elected. Going to do during a reenacted every year, going to have the storming, and you can do it at your state capitol. You can storm it, rub your shit on the walls,
right? And when they do the Civil War reenactments, like there are soldiers from both sides, you know, both people like get into the history of both sides. Well, there would be cops too, right? And the part of it would just be to beat up the cops each year.
Yeah, let's organize a January 6th reenactment. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's do it.
See who shows up.
See who shows up. Yeah, a bunch of militias. We end up getting arrested.
Right.
Maybe we'll get pardoned, though. Trump said he'd pardon all the January 6th people. He didn't say what year.
I don't mind being called a liar when I'm lying, or about to lie, or just finished lying. But not when I'm telling the truth!
Okay, so DeVron, we've gone through this. We've looked at what some of these Trump supporters have told us, and they've expressed their devotion for this man. What do you think can be done to break the spell and make these people stop supporting Donald Trump?
He would have to have done something so heinous, and it would have to be publicly known that he did it. And it would have to be so awful and egregious and anti-democracy and anti-America that he would be unfit for office across the board. Even his supporters would have to admit it. For example, follow me on this, right?
Okay, I'm ready.
During the certification for president, say, right?
Okay.
Pretty
I think that's the first Wednesday or something in the year, every year. I think in 2020 it was January 6th. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so for example, hypothetically here, I'm trying to think of like the worst thing that you could do.
Okay.
You have like a big rally in support of yourself.
Okay.
Being a candidate who has lost an election. So say this is, you know, this next year, 2024 or something. Say he's lost the election. Then he would have to tell those supporters to go over to the Capitol where they're certifying the election at that moment. And, you know, say things like, you know, be wild and you fight, fight, fight. You'd have to send them there. And then I don't think it would even stop there. Even then, people, I think, would still support him. But that crowd of people, that fuse that he'd kind of lit, bringing the people to Washington, D.C. and sending them over to the Capitol, they would have to take things, I think, even a step further, breaking through, say, into the Capitol.
Okay, I was going to ask, what would that look like?
Yeah.
They'd break through?
They'd break through. They'd break into the Capitol. And I think... And I know this sounds like extreme, like,
yeah,
we're never going to see this, but they would have to, I think, break in to the Capitol and cause such a disturbance that the certification for the election of president was interrupted, was stopped.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I mean? So that you would actually have to see Donald Trump being personally responsible for stopping the peaceful transfer of power.
Got it.
The whole incident would have to be well recorded, would have to be on live television. I think you would need, you know, some videos of like the actual awful stuff that happened to police officers being beat up by his supporters, you know, those types of really, really violent, really bad stuff. And then you would have to see that session, that joint session of Congress interrupted. You'd have to see Donald Trump stop the peaceful transfer of power. Then I think his supporters would have no choice but to say, we can't follow this person.
This is egregious. This is terrible. This is anti-democratic. It's anti-American.
It's anti-democracy. It's anti the country of America refusing to fairly participate in an election and violently trying to stop the peaceful transfer of power. I think at that point, all the reasonable people, and I think that would be most people, I don't think you would have any support if that happened.
That would be absolutely wild. They would have to be there and be wild, basically. Yeah.
You would have had to tell them to do that. I want to say this is all just highly unlikely, nearly impossible.
Well, DeVrom, I hate to break it to you. I mean, this sounds wild, but it's kind of exactly what happened on January 6th, 2020. And we were there for that. Remember, we saw that happen.
Wait, what happened again?
Exactly what you just described, like almost verbatim.
But I keep seeing people at these rallies we go to that they still like Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's that might be poking some holes in your theory. I mean, maybe if it happened again, that would be a thing that would sway people's mind, but I don't know. I don't know.
So you're saying all that happened and he's still leading in the polls for president of the United States?
Yes. He's leading by 5 points. Okay. Well, I have a way.
Really?
And I don't know if this is a way. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if this is a way for the Trump supporters to give up Donald Trump, but it would be a way for them to not have the choice to vote for him again.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay.
I want to say that because, like, no matter what happens with Donald Trump, there are these people that, even if he says something that they don't like, there is a whole fan fiction world that goes on there. Well, they will be like, well, he didn't mean that. He means this, or he's still president now, and this and that. And there's this whole world that you just can't break through. It's like it is like a cult mentality with some of the people, not all of them.
Fan fiction, that fits in nicely with like the LARPing community kind of, which the same type of people showed up to January 6th.
My solution, though, does require a time machine, which is maybe the one thing that it has against it right now.
Okay.
Everything that happened on January 6th. Remember January 6th? Remember that?
I'm starting to. When I said all that stuff, it started to, yeah.
What I would do, I would get a time machine. Number one, you got to get a time machine. Got to get a time machine.
Have to. First of all, that's useful. Even aside from this, I'm going to say you're going to want that.
And I would be fine totally like fucking up the last 3 years of, like, I don't think anything like great. I would say actually the last 3 years, not a lot of great stuff has happened in the world. So I would say what I would do is I would go back to January 6th, maybe even January 7th.
I just want to be clear. You know you're giving up the last like 3 years of your life.
Don't say that.
You're good with that? That's fine.
Things would change, but hopefully things would be okay. I don't want to say I'm giving up on that. A lot of great stuff's happened for me personally. I'm just talking about the nation, okay? So don't try and trap me on this, okay? Take a time machine back to January 7th and show what is happening currently to the Republicans in the Senate. And I would have to give them other information, like insider stock trading stuff that they could know, like what to invest in, what not to invest in, and have them convince them, these Republicans, that they have to convict Donald Trump before he leaves office of the impeachment.
Wait a second.
Of inciting a riot at the Capitol.
You're back to January 7th. This is the day after the storming of the Capitol.
I'm letting the storming of the Capitol happen. That's happening. We're not stopping.
Yeah. And then you're going to show them that they have lost control of the Republican Party completely.
That Donald Trump has risen from the ashes of shame because he has no shame and is back at it lying. And so
why, what, where do the stock tips come in?
the stock tips, because they're going to be like, I don't care that much. Whatever. I know it sucks, but
So you're luring them in because of some
I'm
money,
bribing
basically.
Them with the stock tips. Yeah. It's like, or I give them the fucking sports almanac or whatever. Like, yeah. they are going to be able to maybe gain power in their own way. I don't know. But we'd be stopping Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So this way does not answer the question that we sought out to answer at the beginning of this episode at all. Because I don't think there is one thing you could do to convince these Trump supporters not to support Donald Trump. And that is the truth. It's the truth.
That's the truth of the matter, huh?
I'm just so worried. I don't think the stars are not aligning right now for stopping Donald Trump. Which is just a happy way to end this.
Yeah. No, but you know what? We should say to everyone, we promise everything will be all right.
Yeah.
That's a good liar's promise.
Yeah. And if you see us leaving the country after Election Day,
don't overthink it. It's a vacation.
Well, that's the truth about these Trump supporters, DeVram. I wish I had a more concrete plan to stop Donald Trump that didn't involve a time machine, but I don't think I do. I don't feel like we've ever reached any of these people, unfortunately. We've had a couple of people question themselves, but I think they fall back into the ooze of the bubble that they're in. Now, I realize we didn't really get the best solution here. So if you have a solution that you think would actually work, we're going to talk about it in the next episode. Not the next episode, another episode. Drop us a line at thegoodliarspodcast@gmail.com. And we're going to have a bonus episode that we're going to talk about a big thing we did a couple years ago in Iowa. Herohero.co/thegoodliars. It's right there in the description of this episode. Feature-length movie. Lots of fun stuff on there. Bonus content you can't get anyplace else. DeVron, before we end this episode, I got to know, do you have any words of wisdom?
If you risk nothing, then you risk everything.
Is that true? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then you're risking not being true to yourself, making the most out of the life that you have.
You always miss 100% of the shots you don't take. All right, well, that does it for The Good Liars Tell the Truth. See you next time.
America. The Good Liars Tell the Truth is produced by Aaron Mason, with new episodes releasing every Tuesday. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to us at thegoodliarspodcast@gmail.com.